Well, hello everyone. It is time for today's Healthline 3, and we always like to focus on ways that we can make you a healthier person and focus on some of the things that a lot of people deal with every day, and this one really impacts a lot of folks. Our featured guest today is Dr. Christopher Shelby of WKI Institute. And Dr. Shelby, as always, love to have you on the Healthline segments. You always have some great information and looking forward to today's topic.
Yeah, it's great to be here, as always. Really enjoy it.
Well, it's nice to have you. So over the course of the next half hour, we're of course going to be diving into just about anything with your eyes, but specifically cataracts. Now you can give us a call at 318-219-4569. Talk directly with Dr. Shelby if you have some questions, and this kind of gives us a good chance to address any issues that you may have or a loved one. And we really hope that you join us for this conversation too. Not always do we get to say that things in the world of health are free, but hey, this is a great chance again to clear up any, you know, questions you have or misconceptions and things like that. So Dr. Shelby, let's just dive right into it. You guys are the eye professionals and very knowledgeable on the topics. And let's just dive right into cataracts. That's today's topic. And what exactly is a cataract?
So, you know, cataracts are a browning of your God-given lens. And actually, the term, it means waterfall in Greek or Latin. I can't remember. Anyway, one of the two, because back in the day, you know, as cataracts got worse, they went from yellow to brown to actually white. And you've probably seen pictures in like National Geographic, or, you know, you look at a picture of an animal that has that white spot in the center of their eye. That's actually a cataract. And when a cataract gets bad enough, it turns white. And of course, it looks like a waterfall. Hmm. And so that's why they called it a waterfall.
Animals get cataracts too.
Yeah, dogs and cats and
interesting. Never heard that before.
Yeah, my mother's dog is diabetic and ended up with cataracts, and they actually there's veterinary ophthalmologists out there that do nothing but dog and cat cataract surgery and treat eye disorders in animals. Pretty interesting.
Wow. Never learned that. That's why I always love when you're a guest. We always learn something new.
That's right. Just in case you're on Jeopardy or whatever.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, I mentioned off the top of this that this is a very timely topic because we talk about issues in the world of health that it'll impact 100,000 folks across the country here, maybe up to 5 or 10 million here. But this one, if you live long enough, everybody. I find that to be fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, because we're all living longer, and we also have higher demands on the quality of our lives. So, you know, it's no longer, and of course, the older I get, the younger these other decades become, right? And so we all want to be very active, and your vision is very important. And so when the symptoms of cataracts begin to affect those, the activities of daily living and the quality of life, then it's time to have them taken out. Because the technology nowadays, the cataract surgery is 6 to 10 minutes. It's very gentle. It's actually the most successful surgery performed on Earth. And there's really no reason to live any longer than you need to having blurry vision.
Yeah. You know? So let's talk about, for some of the folks that may be watching right now, you maybe asking yourselves, okay, I think I have something going on with my eyes. Is it a cataract or could it be something else? How do you guys at WKI go about diagnosing that and finding out that a cataract is in fact a problem?
Good question. You know, the nice thing about what we do is we can see every part of the eye. You know, I mean, at the slit lamp, if you've ever been to the eye doctor, we have a microscope there that you put your chin in and we take a look.
Is that with a little puff of air?
No, that's checking pressure.
Okay.
You know, and the good news nowadays for all those people who will not go to the eye doctor because they don't like the puff of air, we generally don't do that anymore.
Oh, wow.
There's other ways we can do it non-contact. We can test pressure without having to puff air in the eye.
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
I used to hate that when I was a kid.
Oh, so, I did too. Know, I, was like, I did too.
Here it comes because you're, yeah, and, you know, the funny thing is the anticipation of the puff is actually worse than the puff itself. You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way you live life. You know, you're anticipating this to happen.
Often,
it's not
near
as bad, yeah. But so what we do is we actually, of course, check vision, and then we check best corrected vision. You know, I mean, and what's better, one or two, to see how good we can get the vision. And most people should be able to get to 20/20, which is, you know, you're seeing at 20 feet, which normal people see at 20 feet. And then if we can't quite get you there, or you see 20/20 and it's not really clear, we dilate the eye and we take a good look. Because you have to imagine the eye is like a camera. And the whole purpose is to focus light from out here onto the retina, which is the very back part of the eye, is a sharp point. The sharper that point, the better you see. And so if that sharp point's on there but things are blurry, we have to figure out why. And so the most common reason is because of cataracts. So your lens, just like the lens of a camera, is no longer clear. It's kind of cloudy. So that image, no matter what we do with glasses or contacts, that image is blurry. Mm-hmm. And so we can see that at the slit lamp. You know, we can dilate the eye and say, oh, you've got this browning of your lens, or your lens is yellow, or you have a plaque on there. You know, we can see those, which is good news. Because sometimes things can be blurry, and we look, and there's no cataract, or you've had cataract surgery. So we got to figure out why those things are blurry. And that's one of the take-home messages, is that your eyes should never hurt, and blurred vision is abnormal. And so, and it may be abnormal because you're nearsighted.
Yeah.
You know, or you're farsighted, or you have astigmatism. And so that abnormality can be treated with glasses or contact lenses. But a new onset blurred vision is abnormal, and we need to take a look.
Interesting. Now, I have so many more questions to ask you. I always learn so much. But again, this is all about our viewers. You watching at home, wherever you're watching, get your questions answered right now. Now is the time to call Dr. Shelby. 318-219-4569 is the number to call. And we already have our first question for Dr. Shelby. We have Pamela on the line. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning.
What's your question for Dr. Shelby?
I have had cataract surgery on both eyes. Mm-hmm. But my problem is I was told that there was a chance of cataracts coming back again. And I have some things happening that kind of reminds me of cataracts. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, the cataract being the clouding of your God-given lens, that actually technically can never come back. But you have to imagine that your lens sits in a bag. And so what we do at the time of cataract surgery is we open the front part of that bag, remove your lens, and we actually put the new lens back in that bag, which is very convenient for us because it's like a placeholder. And so that bag heals around the lens and locks it into place. About 50 to 60% of the time, the bag itself can become hazy or create a little what we call fibrosis on there. When that happens, we call it a secondary cataract. And then we call it that because the symptoms, like you're describing, of the cataract are coming back. You know, it's a little blurry. It's not quite as clear. You may get some glare at nighttime or lights look streaky. That's actually very easy to diagnose. And you need to go back to wherever you had your cataract surgery done and dilate, take a look, because the treatment is very, very easy. We actually use a laser in the clinic to remove that haziness. It literally takes 30 seconds. It's completely painless. And most everybody knows it's an improvement in their vision by the time they leave the clinic.
Okay.
So, very, very common. Uh-huh. And it's a very common question. And so...
That's real comforting to know.
Yeah.
It is.
And like I said, it's painless. Did I mention that?
That is
yeah,
good.
There's a couple things we do in medicine that don't hurt at all.
You mentioned that it was painless.
Yeah, and that's one of them.
So I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
Pamela, how long ago did you have your cataract surgeries?
Oh, it was 2015, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's been a couple years, almost a decade. So, you know, just to kind of branch off of what Pamela's talking about, do these surgeries kind of wane with time? Is that something that she's, you know, should be aware of? Or?
Well, things change. And so naturally, what'll happen, first of all, most of your vision change that you're going to have during your lifetime is because of your lenses.
You know, oh, okay.
Like, you're not old enough to wear reading glasses yet, but
I'm getting there.
Yeah, well, we all are. You know, every day you get a little bit closer. And so the problem is that your lens can't focus in up close anymore. And you were saying you got a 4-year-old, you know, and we get a lot of parents coming in going, you know, Johnny's holding the iPad right here. Well, that's because Johnny can see it right there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that doesn't hurt a child, by the way. And so as we get older, that drifts out to that normal range, and then we hit our 40s and our arms aren't long enough, so we got to wear reading glasses, you know, to help your lens magnify a little bit. And so as those vision changes happen, you know, of course, then it gets bad enough. We take the cataract out, put a new lens in. Theoretically, as all things being equal, you know, as long as there's no glaucoma, macrogeneration, corneal problems, things like that, your vision, once cataract surgery is done, should remain stable. Hmm. When it begins to change, we need to take a look at it. And like with Pamela, most commonly in 2015, if you haven't had that YAG laser yet, that's probably what you need. You know, and the good news is it's easy to figure out. You know, we just got to take a look, dilate the eye. And like I said, generally, like she's explaining, patients come in, they're like, it's just not quite as good as it used to be. And so that's most commonly what it is. Hmm. And that can happen at 6 weeks after surgery. It can happen at 15 years after surgery.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Hey, Pamela, thank you so much for the call there and the question for Dr. Shelby. Well, hopefully we have that
thank
answer.
Thank you, Dr. Shelby. I appreciate it because it kind of, well, it makes me feel a little bit better.
Sure.
And yes, I have had that laser. He did laser on me right after he did my surgery and all. But I'm sure that there's things that have kind of gotten a little bit older and needs a little bit more attention right
sure.
now. So
yeah.
I'll just go to the company that did this. When I say company, because he has retired, but his daughter has taken up the reins and she's doing his practice. So I just go back and let them look at it and we get things taken care of.
Well, Pamela,
and
I tell you what.
I don't feel real bad about it.
Pamela, if you're looking for someone with the knowledge and experience, I can vouch. Dr. Shelby, Dr. Weishgolman, and his partner, they do an absolutely excellent job. And let's let Pamela know how they can find you. We'll address this a little later in the show as well for others. But for viewers right now, for Pamela, if they have questions after the show or something like that, where can they find you and Dr. Coleman?
Yeah, they can. Our global number is 212-2020. We have an office at North. That's our main office. Then we have one at Portico, which is 212-3937. And then at Wills-Knighton South, which is 212-2020. But you can go to thecataractsurgeons.com and it's got all of our information on there.
Fantastic. 212-2020.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
okay.
It's a little play on numbers, right?
I like that.
Right? And so we debated 2015 because that's slightly better. But, you know, 2020 is a lot easier to remember.
I like that.
Yeah,
good stuff. Well, Pamela, thank you again so much. And yes, absolutely. Give Dr. Shelby a call, WKI Institute, and they'll get you set up. Promise.
Yeah, and that's a great question that she had, and it's a very common concern, you know, and when vision changes like that, there's a number of things it can be, and most of them are very treatable, you know, like believe it or not, dry eyes, a huge issue.
Yeah.
That can cause blurred vision. Gravity affects everything. So one thing we can see is an increase in a certain type of astigmatism over time, which can cause some of that subtle change.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news about that is that, you know, LASIK is what we do in somebody who's 20 or 30, that wants to get out of glasses or contact lenses, where we use a laser to gently reshape the cornea. It actually works amazingly well. It's
yeah.
a wonderful procedure. But we can actually do it with patients after cataract surgery. And so, like if a patient had cataract surgery back in the day where we didn't have these special lenses and they're having to wear glasses all the time, we can actually do LASIK to enhance the vision.
Hmm.
Or even 10, 15 years after cataract surgery, it's like the distance isn't quite as good and they're having to wear glasses. We can do LASIK to sharpen the vision.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yes.
We got a laser for everything.
I was going to say, I got a million questions to ask you myself. But again, this is dedicated to our viewers. If you're watching right now, pick up the phone. Give Dr. Shelby a call if you have eye questions, more specifically cataracts. 318-219-4569. Got our second caller on the line, Oxley. Good afternoon.
Hello. I've been trying to get in touch with Dr. Shelby. I just had my cataract, but I had the pad optics put in last about Wednesday. What would that be? 9 days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm having blurriness in my left eye.
Which one was done first?
You should remember me. I'm the.
Oh yeah, no, Mr. Oxley. Yeah, I remember you. Yeah.
Well, I wrote you a text, but it turns out I'm not technologically. Stuff on all this stuff, so it wound up sending it to your the wrong office.
Well, I'm glad.
Anyway, is there a way of finding out if the lens you put in is exactly where it should be?
Sure. Yeah, we just got to take a look. And you know, 9 days. Most patients will notice an immediate difference in their vision. Yeah, you know, things are brighter, more colorful, maybe a little foggy or hazy for a day or two. And as a general rule, you know, as the pupil comes down, the swelling goes away, the vision begins to settle. Now, if you can imagine, your God-given lens is about 5 millimeters thick. the lens we put in is half a millimeter thick. And so what happens is that bag that we put it in has to make up that space. And so it begins to heal around the lens. And as it's doing that, it can move the lens a little forward or a little backwards based on our predicted lens positioning. And so that's the most common reason for a little blurred vision, especially after putting a PanOptix in within this time frame. And so that takes about 3 weeks to really completely heal in. And the PanOptix that you have, that YAG laser that I was talking about earlier, we end up doing that a lot sooner rather than later. Because that when that bag begins to fold and collapse around the lens, it'll create these little ridges in there. And so we have to laser that pretty quickly to sharpen the vision. But yeah, we just need to take a look, because I mean, that's easy to see if the positioning is correct or not.
Let's talk about some of the tools that you use. You and Dr. Coleman always using the most advanced technology when it comes to your eyes. And I could just imagine what some of the things doctors used hundreds of years ago. But yeah, Now it's changed so much. You mentioned the LASIK system and things like that. What are some things that you guys use, especially when it comes to dealing with cataracts, and how that advanced technology helps?
So a lot of it is in the preoperative measurements now. And so what we know is that your cornea, the front clear part of the eye, is the most important refractive surface because it has the vast majority of focusing power, and that's where the astigmatism comes from. And so we can actually very precisely measure that. And then we have to measure the length of the eye. And like I was telling Mr. Oxley, you know, your lens being 10 times thicker than the lens we put in, the biggest issue we have is predicting exactly where that lens is going to end up. And we're pretty good at it, like 95% accurate. And so that's where a lot of the changes have come from, is being able to predict where the lens is going to be placed. And then at the time of surgery, we use the LensX laser, which actually does a number of parts of the procedure very accurately. And it does them reproducibly every time. And one of them is the size of that opening in the front part of the capsule. And so that is one of the most important variables for predicting outcomes. And then once we have a cataract out, before we put the lens in, we have the Aura system where we can actually remeasure the eye at the time of surgery to verify that lens power to put people in perfect focus.
Wow.
And then we have an overlay system. It's almost like too much information. We have an overlay system where when we're measuring the eye before surgery, the machine recognizes patterns in the iris. So when we lay a patient down, it recognizes where the iris is and how it's rotated. And mm-hmm. So that's improved our outcomes as far as treating astigmatism.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I find that so fascinating too, the use of these very specialized lasers too. And I'm sure it comes down to recovery time, helps out tremendously as well, but we'll address that. I want to get to our next caller right now. And I believe we have Iris on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Iris.
I am just fine. Thank you, sir. I had cataract surgery back in both of my eyes in April and May of this year. Mm-hmm. And I had real good vision, but I started having a little bit of blurriness on my driving at night and things. And I wore sunshades for this. But anyway, the doctor that I was seeing told me I should, you know, he thought I ought to have the cataract surgery. So I've had this. And I was not aware at the time or even told that you could get lenses without having to wear glasses afterwards. In fact, I was real shocked I had to wear glasses afterwards, but I've gone through the whole steps with the optometrist and my eye doctor, but I've gotten back to the point. My eyes are always gritty, and they seem like they keep trying to close on me. Well, I've gone back to both doctors, and they've given me the answer of, well, maybe you need to have cosmetic surgery and what have you. I never had this problem at all before I had this cataract surgery done. But I guess I'm at the point of being a little bit scared about anything else being done to my eyes, because I'm really having, when I wear my glasses, which I have to wear them driving, and I've gotten to where I can't see real well now to even see the TV without them. But I'm just having a lot of blurriness and grittiness and hurting in my eyes. And I just don't know which way to go. I don't know what to believe or what to do. Or now my colors are brighter. Mm-hmm. Now I do have to say that. But things are just not going well, and I just am at a standpoint of not knowing what to do.
Sure.
Would you have any suggestions to tell me what I might need to, next step I might need to take?
Absolutely. You know, so
I don't know I don't know whether to try to go ahead and have this. They're trying to say that my skin is falling down over my eyes, but that doesn't seem to me to be the main problem. I'm having just a lot of blurriness and grittiness. So I don't know what to. I'm not in my mind the question of what should I do, really.
Sure. Well, I can understand being a little bit gun shy to do anything else. And what they're talking about doing is we all get a little redundancy of that eyelid skin. And so it works very well in patients who find themselves raising their eyebrows to see better, you know, because it lets more light in. That has nothing to do with the grittiness and scratchiness that you're feeling. Okay, so that's probably a little dryness. And we like to say that cataract surgery does nothing but good stuff, because it does. It does a lot of good things. But whenever we do surgery on the surface of the eye, even with cataract surgery with tiny incisions and things like that, you know, we put you on a steroid drop for a little while because there's inflammation afterwards. And that inflammation is created because your eye gets irritated. It doesn't like to be messed with. And we'll see a degree of some, an increase in the symptoms of dry eye syndrome, which sounds like what you're having, the grittiness and scratchiness and feeling like you want to close your eyes because your brain reactively wants to protect them. And so the thing about your eyes is you should only use them. You shouldn't be aware of them. So when you're aware that they're there, you know, with that grittiness and scratchiness, there's a couple things I could recommend just on the off the cuff. Is in the evenings, do some warm compresses. So take like a washcloth, run as hot water as you can stand it, laid over your eyes. It's very soothing. It helps to stimulate that oily part of your tear film. And you can pick up some artificial tears, rewetting drops over the counter. Make sure they're branded, like Systane, Refresh, anything that's made by Alcon or Bausch & Lomb or Allergan is perfectly fine. Don't get the off-brand stuff. And then when your eyes begin to feel gritty or scratchy, put a drop or two in. Okay, that'll keep them lubricated. That's going to make it feel better. It may help with your vision a little bit, but you know, the blurry vision may be because of astigmatism, which is why you're having to wear glasses. And the blepharoplasty, the eyelid surgery they're talking about, is not going to really do a whole lot for that. One thing I would recommend is getting another opinion and somebody who can be completely objective to take a look at your symptoms, take a look at your eye, and tell you what's going on, who has no skin in the game. No pun intended. You know.
I like it.
Just as an objective opinion, when you have symptoms like this and you're a little bit skeptical about having more surgery, it's completely understandable. And so it's always a good idea to get somebody else to take a look and give you their opinion. And I mean, we'd be willing to do that. I can do it, Dr. Coleman. We have a lot of practitioners at the office who would be glad to take a look and just give you your opinion. We won't twist your arm on any surgeries or anything like that. We'll just tell you what we see, what's going on, and we can help direct your decisions from there.
I like that, the compress idea.
That's great.
I mean, that sounds so simple.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the simplest solution is the best one.
I like that. Yeah. All right. Well, Iris, best of luck, too. Great questions for Dr. Shelby. All right, if you got a question right now, 318-219-4569, kind of entering the last third part of our Healthline 3. So just a couple of minutes. We're going to shut down the phone lines just about here in about 7 minutes or so. So make sure you give us a call. We already got our next caller on the line. Alexander, what's your question for Dr. Shelby? Good afternoon.
Yeah, my question is, my eyes keep flickering.
You say
I had a stroke back in May.
Okay.
And both my eyes keep flickering. I can't hardly talk for good.
So, like, when you say flickering, do you mean like a flash? A flicker, or are things moving?
I mean, they be jumping.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because flickering, you know, can mean a lot of things, and part of it is sometimes people see flashes or flickering of light that has to do with the retina. Having a stroke, you know, of course, the brain's incredibly complex. And control of the eyes is very complicated. And so there's six muscles that attach to the eye to keep them coordinated. And there's a couple of centers in the brain that are responsible for tracking, meaning that, you know, like when you're following an object, things like that, that takes a lot of input. And sometimes you can get what we call nystagmus, which is where the eyes actually will beat back and forth. And when it can be congenital nystagmus, which is not an issue. Patients never notice it because they've been like that since they were born. But if you get nystagmus after a stroke, especially when you look in certain directions and the eyes beat back and forth, that's secondary to the injury from the stroke itself.
Hmm.
And so, and there's not a whole lot to do about that initially, if that's what's going on, except to try to stay out of the range that causes that to happen. And we will naturally do that. You know, the brain's an amazing thing. There's a lot of recovery that can happen, or rerouting, to where patients who get nystagmus will turn their head in certain positions. Sometimes the strabismus surgeons, which are the pediatric ophthalmologists, can go in and move the muscles around a little bit to help reduce that.
So should Alexander's next step be for
a good exam?
Especially a brain doctor?
I would say, you know, we're kind of gatekeepers, you know, and so because the jumping could be eyelid related. I mean, there's a number of things it could be that we could say, oh, okay, well, you just need these drops or this medication. And so, but being able to take a look to see exactly what's going on, and then we can direct it from there to like a neuro-ophthalmologist or the pediatric ophthalmologist or somebody who can try to help with that situation.
Okay.
So, fantastic. And once again, it's, you know, 212-2020 is the main number. TheCataractSurgeons.com has all of our contact information on there. And we can see patients wherever it's most convenient for them.
Absolutely. Well, you came in for cataracts. We've really been talking about a number of eye issues, but that's pretty much what you guys tackle. You don't tackle just cataracts. I mean, you guys are doing just about everything involving the eyes.
Sure. Well, when somebody comes in, they have blurred vision. You know, most commonly, when you look at it, cataracts are still the leading cause of reversible blindness in the world. Mm-hmm. We're just very fortunate here in the United States where, you know, you get a little blurry vision, it's like, oh, this is annoying, we can take the cataract out. That's not like that everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody comes in, they have blurred vision, that's probably, you know, but depending on the age group, the main cause. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that can cause blurry vision.
Interesting. So. Now, I was going to ask you this after the show, but maybe somebody out there thinking the same thing or feeling the same way that I do. For too long, I have had an issue seeing things far away. I'm hesitant to go to the eye doctor just because I feel like my eyes are super sensitive.
Yeah.
But like listening to you today, I think, you know, it's probably been a decade or two since I've been to the eye doctor. But things have probably changed drastically. And, it, you know, it's probably something that I should do and other people as well.
Yeah, it's a good idea to get a good eye exam. You know, as long as the vision's normal, your eyes are probably okay. But there's things like glaucoma. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, which glaucoma is high pressure in the eye that damages the optic nerve. And that's one of the main things we screen for during a routine exam. And the problem with glaucoma is it can snuff the vision out completely.
Wow.
And it's painless, generally.
Jeez.
You know, so people don't know it until...
That's scary.
Yeah. And if somebody has blurred vision with glaucoma, there's really nothing we can do about that, you know, except prevent it from getting any worse. And so, you know, it's... Look, it's much easier being in my chair, you know, as a physician than going and being in the other chair. We understand that completely. The nice thing about seeing us is that, you know, there's no needles, generally no blood work. You know, we're just taking a look.
Yeah.
The worst part would be dilating the eyes. You know, your pupils stay dilated for a few hours, but it's not painful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just shine bright lights in there, and that's usually it.
Ugh. All right, you put me at ease, and I'm sure, you know, that's what I wanted to ask is because, you know, it's something that I need to do, and I'm sure somebody out there is watching is like, ah, Nate's right, I need to get in there too. So I guess my last and final question is, you know, when it comes to helping the eye customers or the, you know, the people of the Arklatex, this is something that you guys are pros in. I mean, you know, I've talked to you and Dr. Coleman at length about these topics, and you guys know what you're doing. I don't mean to pump you up too much, but you do.
Well, we do. It's what we enjoy. We're really good at it. And we do a lot of interesting things like therapeutic refractive surgery. And what that means is that, you know, we get a patient coming in with blurred vision. And a lot of times it can be very complicated issues with the cornea or the lens. And that's what we specialize in. You know, we do certain procedures that aren't done all over the place. And we carry patients through from start to finish. You know, it's more than just... We do a surgery and you're seeing better the next day and we send you out. Mm-hmm. You know, we walk you through until we get to that expected outcome.
That is fantastic. Let's get the number 212-2020. Right. Make sure you check him out. WKI Institute, Dr. Christopher Shelby, Dr. Weish Coleman, the best in the biz. Thank you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving.